Let me go ahead and get started. So if you would, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 1. 1 Thessalonians 1. I'm going to read the first four verses for now. 1 Thessalonians 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. Paul speaks here of knowing something. He is actually saying he knows something, their election of God.
Yes.
Now he is also speaking to them and letting them know that they will know this as well. But from the context, he knows this from their works. And that's the context in verse 3. It says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and so on. He is remembering the things they have done to support the gospel, support him in particular. But this all based on the hope they have in their Lord Jesus Christ. If you love God and are with patience waiting on Christ to return, it will cause you to love the brethren.
Yes,
be with the brethren and do things for the brethren. Now, that's not what I want to talk about specifically today. I want to concentrate on the fourth verse. Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. So this divine selection comes from God. Now, in this passage, it tells us how we know this, and I will get to that later, but I want to talk about election. Now, just to be clear, this does not say knowing the doctrine of election.
Right.
It is saying knowing the work of God in election, and that's what it's talking about. I want to use those questions that a lot of people use when they're trying to learn a subject or whatever: how, when, where, what, or who, as it concerns election. And my title is Chosen. So first, how were we chosen? Christ tells his disciples in John 15, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you.
Amen.
So how was this choosing? So how this choosing was done was by sovereign choice. Turn with me to a very familiar passage, Romans 9. Romans 9. If you want to follow along. Romans 9 and verse 11. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated.
Amen.
Based on the purpose of God, that is, based on his sovereign choice alone, he chose some people. It had nothing to do with their works at any time. God chose some before they were ever brought forth from the womb. So they had done neither good or evil. As has been said, he did not choose the worst of the worst, and he did not choose the best of the best. He chose purely based on his sovereign will to do as he pleases. Also, as has been said before, we know the one thing that was not involved in his sovereign choice, that is, what you and I would do.
Yeah, you're right.
What you and I would do had had and has nothing to do with it. It clearly says, not of works, but of him that calleth.
Amen.
Turn over to Romans 11 real quick. Romans 11. Verses 5 and 6. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So we also see here again how this choosing was done. It was based on the grace of God.
Yes.
It is called the election of grace. The God who is rich in mercy, willing to be gracious to a people. Mm-hmm. In order to give glory to his name for being such a gracious God, purposed in himself to choose a people. We see it here again in Romans. I didn't turn from it now. In Romans 11, verse 6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work.
Exactly.
This election is the election of grace. Grace can only come from God. Because we do not have the power or the authority to show grace in the way that God has shown to some.
Yeah.
Those some are those he chose in grace.
Yes, sir.
If it is by grace, and it is, because it says it is the election of grace,
yes, sir.
Then it is not of works.
Exactly.
Do what you will, but it has no bearing on God choosing anyone. And I want to be clear to anyone listening to me. God is not now choosing people.
Yeah.
God has chosen his people.
Yeah. Amen.
He did this all on his own. He did not have anyone giving him any input. And he did not look at what anyone was doing. Because that is works.
Yeah.
And it is not of works.
Exactly.
But he did this before you and I or anyone from Adam on ever lived. So this leads me to when. So when did God choose? Turn with me to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Again, familiar. Ephesians 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Amen.
I know I'm not telling you all something new or giving you any more great insight into God's word. You know, others have said this before too. I'm just repeating what they have said and what I have said before. I'm just telling you what God's word says.
Yeah.
Those of us who are interested in what God says and not man will enjoy hearing God's word repeated to them, even if others have said it a million times.
Yeah.
We want to hear the story of what God has done over and over.
Yes.
But all of this choosing, we see again here that it is according to God. According as he is what it says. What was according to he? The choosing.
Yeah.
But then it tells us very clearly that he did this choosing in Christ.
Yes.
From before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
We were not around, and we had nothing to do with it, nor would we or do we ever have anything to do with it. Where were you before the foundation of the world? Only in the mind and purpose of God. You and I and anyone else did not exist. So he did it before you and I even existed, and it has nothing to do with works. So can we know any more about what any of this choosing was based on? We sure can. And we can kind of see it here in this passage. So this leads to me to where were we chosen? We certainly can say we were chosen in the mind of God, and that is true. But that does not tell the whole thing about this choosing and where it was done. So right back in the Ephesians 1 verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Yes.
According as he, that is God the Father, has chosen us, that is his people, in him, that is in Jesus Christ the Lord.
Amen.
We were chosen in Christ. There was no other place to choose us but in Jesus Christ. Because outside of Christ is nothing but condemnation. And that we worked for. But there is a reason that the where we were chosen was in the Son of God. It says that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The only place that this would be possible, so that we would not be consumed of God, is to be chosen in Jesus Christ the Lord.
Amen.
Because of what he was pleased to do. It was his whole purpose to do this. Man is absolutely evil. Every single one of us are capable, if it were not for the restraint of God, that we would be the most wicked person in the world.
Yeah. That's
what our works get us.
Yeah.
But in Jesus Christ, if you were chosen in him, then God sees Jesus Christ when he sees you. Because you are in his Son if you were chosen. And I'm going to say this and explain it later. If you were chosen in him and placed in him. Being chosen in Christ and being placed in Christ are two different things. But both go together, although they are separate. But both will happen if you are chosen from before the foundation of the world. But being chosen in Christ, it tells us how it is that we would be holy and without blame before him in love. Verses 6 and 7. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. All of this is to the praise of his grace. And his grace is not just in him choosing us. It is seen in what Jesus Christ, who is God, would do. So let's finish up these questions. Who is it that God has chosen? Now, what I'm going to say might be a surprise to some, but most who are hearing me know this. Who did God choose? First, Jesus Christ the Lord.
Yes.
Isaiah 42:1. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Behold, my servant. Who of us can say that God is saying that about us? Only because we are in him could it be said of us. But God Almighty, God the Father, says, behold my servant. This is who you need to look to. What do we read in the New Testament of Christ when he was here on this earth? It says in different places something like this. I must be about my Father's business. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was the servant of God, and a servant in whom one can behold, because he always did the Father's will.
Amen.
Then it says, whom I uphold. You want to know why so many people go to hell who say they serve God or who say they love God? Because they deny the Son. They do not behold his Son, whom God upholds.
Yeah.
They will not bow down to God because Jesus Christ is God. Whether you be a Jew or a Gentile, it does not matter. Jesus Christ is God of all. But let's move on. It then says, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. Here is one who was chosen, and it did involve his works. He walked in this world and was totally perfect in all he did. And the Father says, he delighteth in him. Because he always did the Father's will, including by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, he went and died on that tree, being forsaken of the Father. So Jesus Christ is the elect of God, the chosen of God, the anointed one, you could say. He was chosen because he was the only one that could perform the Father's will. But as we read in the question on where, it says, we were chosen in Christ the Lord. So who are those chosen in Jesus Christ? The short answer is this: sinners. Some may be outwardly worse than others, but inwardly they are full of dead men's bones. But all that were chosen in him are dead in trespasses and in sin, or were dead in trespasses and sin. I have to say it like that. The ones who were chosen in Christ are ungodly people. The word ungodly used in Romans 5:6, where it says Christ in due time died for the ungodly. The word there for ungodly is derived from a word that means revere, adore, devout, religious, or worship. But this word is the opposite of the word it is derived from. So here is what ungodly means. To all those who might hear me, this is what ungodly means. And if you think different of yourself, then Christ did not die for you, and you are yet in your sins. The word means not reverential to God. They do not adore or behold Jesus Christ. They are not devout followers of God. They are not religious toward God, and they do not worship God. In fact, the scripture actually says we hated God. That is who he chose. So, folks, if anyone wants to argue how good they are, then you know one of two things are true. Either Christ did not choose them and die for them, or Christ has not revealed himself to them yet. So now that leads me to my conclusion. We've just went over the doctrine of election. It is clearly in God's word, and we can clearly see what it says in his word. When it comes to some doctrines of Scripture, some folks react a certain way. And I'm going to say it like this. In what I have said and in other doctrines spoken by preachers, it is like you are getting close to some folks' hummingbird feeder. Some people are like hummingbirds. I was standing out in the front of our deck one day, and Paula has some hummingbird feeders hanging there. And I was standing in front of it, and all of a sudden I heard a loud buzzing in my ear, around my head. And if most of you don't know, I'm terrified of bees. It could be a wasp, hornet, whatever. It doesn't matter. If it flies around, it has a stinger, it's a bee to me. And I'm afraid of it, especially when it flies around my head. Well, I did not know it was a hummingbird, so I'm flinging my arms all around my head, running around. In these instances, if I think there is a bee flying around my head, and if anything's on my head, it'll go off. I'll fling it off. I see this feeder all the time, so I'm not thinking anything of it. But I finally noticed this little bird. It was about this big, flying at my head. He did not poke me. He was just flying around my head with a loud buzz. I have not had one poke me yet, at least not yet, and I don't know if they do that or not, But there are some people, when you speak of doctrines from the Scripture, they will start buzzing around your head. They will get defensive, is what I'm trying to say, cause aggravation. They are buzzing around because you are next to their feeder, too close to where they get their nourishment. Not just the doctrine of election, but maybe you might talk about the doctrine of forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, or anything in Scripture. They will say or think, doing their buzzing, where you're saying, I have to do this or that. Or they will say, you don't care how I'm treated or how you treat me. And let me say this on this one. There are times when I do not do for or give someone what they want or even what they need when I could have. So I'm not saying that I do not do that. We are fallen, sinful, ungodly sinners, and we do not always do what we should. That's not an excuse. It's just the facts. I sometimes think, when I get to thinking those kind of thoughts myself, but how much worse have I done? But when it comes to a doctrine like election, some folks start doing their buzzing. They do not want you to mess around with what feeds them. They will say, are you saying you have to believe in election before you can be saved? I'm not saying that at all. In fact, I will go a lot further than that. Man, when and if he is saved, but at the time he is saved, he pretty much knows nothing at all. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You may be the most notable theologian in the world, but until God reveals himself to you in the gospel, you know nothing. When he does reveal himself to you, it is not your wisdom, but God's if he has revealed himself to you.
Exactly.
But let's go back to our text. 1 Thessalonians. And let's go to verse 5 now. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. You will know something, though, because we are told here, knowing, brethren, beloved of the Lord, your election of God. You will come to know that you are elected, but it's more than that. You will come to know who it is that has elected you.
Yes.
And you may not even understand anything about the doctrine of election that I just went through.
Yeah.
But you will learn in God's good time, and you will come to love it. If what happens to you is what happens next in our text, how do we all know this? 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5 again. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. The gospel does come to us in word, but not word only. But also in power. Who has any power at all? We read in Romans 5, 6 that when we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. And we know if we at some point have strength, it is not of us, but of him. Because he has all power and might. It goes on and says, and in the Holy Ghost. You will know nothing apart from the Spirit of God, not the preacher. Then it goes on, and in much assurance. Assurance in what he has done, because that is what the gospel is about.
Amen.
It is about Jesus Christ and him crucified. It is about his work and not ours.
Yes.
What does it say in Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then back in 1 Thessalonians, it goes on to say, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Then verse 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. If you have always known these things, then it is like Henry Mahan told someone. If you have known these things all your life, then that is too long. You will, as it says here, hear this gospel in much affliction.
Yeah.
And that's not just affliction out there. This is talking about affliction in here.
Amen.
But what does this say here? And ye became followers of us and of the Lord. When you hear his gospel in this way, you will begin to hang out with God's people.
Right.
That's right.
After all, you will not hear the gospel elsewhere.
Right. Exactly.
If the gospel has come to you in power and of the Holy Ghost and in much assurance and in much affliction because you know you are a sinner, then you will not want to be anywhere else.
Right. That's it.
That does, any place else that does not teach, and listen to me, not that they teach the doctrine of election, although they will, but that you will want to be around them because they teach the God of election.
Right.
They will teach the one in whom we are elected,
and
the one in whom, because of what he has done, has made us acceptable before God in love. The scripture teaches us that we are chosen in Christ and were chosen from before the foundation of the world. And that had nothing to do with our works, but his will and purpose and what the Son's works would do. But this choosing is not salvation. It is unto it.
Amen.
What am I trying to say? We were chosen in Christ. But before this time that we read of here in our text where the gospel comes to us in power, before this time we were not or have not been placed in Christ, if we are chosen of God at all. God does in time place us in his dear Son. How can I say this? Because we are born the children of wrath, even as others.
Yes.
What does it tell us in Ephesians 1, 10 and 11? That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That in the dispensations of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Now, this is not just talking about that time when the gospel comes, but this also refers to, I believe, that time when he returns. But it is true that in time he comes to pull one to himself and place them in himself. Those who are dead in trespasses and in sin, he comes to and give spiritual life. He sends them the gospel wherein by the God-given faith that we have, we believe him and know him. What does the scripture say? Colossians 1, 12 through 14. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son,
Amen.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. He comes to us in life-giving power to give us spiritual life. And sends us the gospel, and both of these must happen for this to be true of us. But when this does happen, we are placed in Christ. If we are already in Christ, why do we need to be translated into his kingdom? I would expect that if we are in him, we are in the kingdom, right? The kingdom is where the king is. We are translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. We were not before, but then we are. Again, we have more scripture to support this, Galatians 4, 5 through 7. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. There was a time I was just a servant, a chosen servant, but just a servant. But then there comes that time where we receive the adoption of sons, placed in Christ. So now if God does all this and has done all this, you can count on it. Because he says so, you can know your election, which is of God by his power, in him sending you this gospel. Knowing your election, that is in Christ Jesus the Lord, assuring us of salvation because of what he has done. Amen. Dear Lord God, calls us to look to you. All things come from you. from you, dear Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be here and apply these words to our hearts, dear Lord. All these things we ask in your name. Amen.